CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Canada in the world, especially when it comes to the Hamas war in the Middle East, the Ukraine war in Europe. And the puzzle here is the extremely young and attractive and popular prime minister is said to be losing power, especially the Israel-Hamas war is identified. Politico writes, fallout from the Israel-Hamas war is hitting hard in key swing ridings, where the divisive issue has become a litmus test for the liberals' progressive agenda. To help me interpret this is Conrad Black, distinguished biographer and Canadian. Lord Black, I need help. The ridings, I understand, I read that as congressional districts, but the question of the Israel-Hamas war, it is a puzzle to me that the prime minister doesn't enjoy attention for that. It seems a straightforward matter of the horror of visited by Hamas and the defense of Israel by the IDF. What is it that is holding back either the Liberal government or the prime minister himself or a confusion in parliament? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. You're right, of course. Riding is an old English term, and it's not much used even in England, but it hung on here. It's the same as a constituency, and you're right. It's like a congressional district, parliamentary district. And the problem is a little like that in the United States, where the woke, radical left element has been allowed to accumulate inside the Liberal Party. So it's quite influential within the Liberal Party as it is within the Democratic Party in the U.S., but it is a very much a minority in the country. So both Justin Trudeau and President Biden have this challenge of trying to keep those quite left-wing voters on side, but without alienating the majority of the country who are moderate people. And where this plays out in the Middle Eastern events is that in this country, as in the United States, a majority of people feel that Israel was disgracefully and outrageously attacked and sympathize with the view that that you can't get any kind of durable peace in the Middle East if it depends on Israel reaching settlement with a group of terrorists who don't accept the right of Israel to exist as a Jewish state. You're never going to reach agreement with people who are fanatically opposed to having an agreement. And in any case, they committed a heinous act of war, and there is no sympathy, as far as the majority are concerned, for people who did the appalling things that Hamas did on October 7th. They won't hear of this rubbish about an occupation, all that kind of thing. I mean, I think everyone acknowledges the Palestinians have a claim to make, but that's not the way to make it. And yet Justin has allowed, as your president has, these far left forces to become more influential within the governing party than their percentage of the entire population would justify. So it creates a requirement for a balancing act that he hasn't fallen on his face, but it's an awkward and visibly awkward situation, I'm saying.
This connects to another revelation I have, that the government, the Liberal government, I know it's a minority government, but the Liberal government has foreign policy, has struggled to find a way to condemn the IRGC as a terrorist organization. It's a terrorist organization.
Of course it is.
It drives the depredations. It supports Hamas. It supports Hezbollah. What is the hesitation? Is that same thing, progressives inside certain ridings?
I think it is. And here again, I'm getting into an area where I'm not the best person to explain the motives of the government of this country, but I think they have this illusion, and in the Liberal Party of Canada, there's this tradition going back to the Suez Crisis of 1956, in which the then Liberal Foreign Minister, Mr. Pearson, subsequently Prime Minister, won the Nobel Prize for championing this idea of having a UN force hold a zone between the contesting sides and having the Israelis back back out of Sinai, and the Suez Canal reopened. And so there is a sort of vague mythological notion in the mind of the leaders of the Liberal Party historically that they have some special gift for brokering deals and being mediators in the Middle East. It's absolute and complete rubbish. There's no truth to it at all. And what happened in 1956 has no relevance at all to what's happening now. And but I think there's this aversion to saying one side is terrorist and the other isn't, because essentially it backs into the matters we were talking about earlier. You then find all these sympathizers with the Palestinians who here, as in your country, I think are essentially a mixture of Muslim immigrants who are abusing our hospitality and useful idiots for the left who have been misled by the intellectually bankrupt propagandists and myth makers in our academic community, and they have this misunderstanding that there is some degree of moral equivalence between the authors of October 7 and the defenders against what happened on October 7. And that's where they're stuck.
So this is a phenomenon of the Liberal Party's inventive decision making in order to hold itself together. This would not apply.
Yeah, and to maintain this myth that the Liberal Party alone amongst Canadian political parties has some standing in the world that is established and has this precedent. And enables them legitimately to aspire to play a role which no other party in Canada could play had it the control of the government. It's complete and utter rubbish. The last prime minister who achieved anything in foreign policy was Brian Mulroney, and he was a conservative.
This then is entirely solved by the Conservative Party if it was in power, liberal minority power or majority power.
As long as they could meet Parliament, the position of the Conservatives is clear. They support Israel unreservedly on this issue. They have sympathy with the Palestinians, but only the Palestinians who want a state on a non-terrorist basis and accept the right of Israel in certain borders to exist as a Jewish state. So you'd have an entire change of view, and if Poilievre was the prime minister, you'd have. You'd have solid support for Israel. Yeah, unambiguous support.
We just have a minute here. In America, it's fair to say that we vote pocketbook, not foreign policy. Is that the same in Canada?
I'm sorry, about what policy?
We vote pocketbook issues. We do not vote foreign policy.
Yeah, the economy would be the biggest issue in any election, unless you get... I mean, some years ago, we had a tremendous crisis in Quebec, and I think that was briefly the biggest issue. But in general, yeah, people vote with their pocketbooks.
Conrad Black, helping me to understand hesitation in the Liberal government, confusion at some point by the Liberal minority government, by Justin Trudeau himself, who is scheduled, Conrad tells me, to remain in office until 2025 for the next general election, but that could change parliamentary system. Is exciting. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.